Just during our time of worship this morning, I kept having a picture of a father with his child on his lap, sitting with the child on his lap, and the father's talking to people, you know, and the child keeps looking at the father. And then the father put his hands on the child, the child puts his hands on the father's face and turns the father's face towards him. And we've all seen, haven't we? We've all seen little children do that, is to put their hands on their father's face, to turn his face towards them. I just want us this morning, I believe God's saying to us that he wants to speak to us, yes, as you in the plural, but God has got something to say to you as an individual. And he just wants you, by faith in your heart this morning, just to say, Father, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me? Because whoever you are this morning, God has got something to say to you personally. Personally, you in the singular. Amen.
So this morning we are going to do something slightly different for a morning service. And it's going to be quite informal. And after last week, we remember last week we started a mini-series on hearing from God. And a number of people actually came up to me afterwards and said, wow, God had just been saying to me, listen to me, or something like this. And it really does feel as though now is the time to be listening and hearing from God. It really does. I just wondered, we're going to have a panel in a minute. In John 10, verse 27, let's do a sword drill. Who can get that first of all? John 10, 27. Do you know what a sword drill is? Okay. Who didn't bring their Bibles today? Okay, John 10, 27. Well done, Janet. Oh, no, you haven't got it yet. Barney?
No, Chris got it before Chris. Me. Speak it
later. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me.
Thank you very much. So my sheep listen to my voice. They what was it again? I know them and they follow me. Exactly. So these are words from Jesus, and they are definitely what some words that people have been saying. Actually, they said to me after the service, there was quite a number of testimonies. So I thought we'd give a little bit of time before we have a panel, okay, where we're going to ask some sheep whether they've heard the voice of Jesus and how have they heard that. So it's going to be an interesting time. But before we do that, I just want to give a little bit of space to testimonies. Now, if I've asked you to be on a panel, you can save your words for a little bit later. But has anyone got anything to share about hearing from God? Chris, Scott, come on down.
I'm not one to stand up the front like this. But last week, if you was here, then Jem spoke about hearing from God. And then there was like this pause, and then the band was playing, and it was just beautiful place to be. It was hot here, and it was nice and it was hot outside, and it was cool in here. And we just closed our eyes, and the band was playing, and this picture came, it was just there. And it was really solid. And doing a Malcolm Salmon. It's only going to be brief. But if you want to make yourself comfortable, then that'd be okay. So I'm reading this book at the moment by the guys who head up Soul Survivor Day Supernatural. And it's just everyday things. And it's really good. You know, it's just everyday supernatural. So there it was. The band were playing lovely. It was nice and cool. And we've got our eyes closed. And I had this picture. And there's me and Callie riding along. She's got me her arms around my waist. We're on a Vespa going through this dappled sunlight. And we got a picnic, and then we go and have this picnic, and we're just relaxing, and it's beautiful. And that was it. I thought, well, that's just a nice thing, isn't it? So anyway, so afterwards, I said to Kelly, we walked into church last week. I said, I'll treat you. We'll go and get a Subway. And I know it wasn't even a time when I had a voucher to get 50 pence off. So I thought, blow it. I'll and the expense. We'll go and have a Subway. I know. So off we went. We got our Subway, and then we went round to Victoria Park, and there we was under a dappled tree, had his arms around me, and we're having this picnic. And we was talking to this the chick who runs the gardens, Angie, she's named. We were saying, "Oh, what lovely job you're doing," and stuff like that. And then she comes over. She's a stocky lass, but she come over and she's talking about all these plants and a bit of advice like this. And we said, "We just really appreciate the work you do here, and it's just glorious." And she was really stoked about being just given a compliment like this. And we said, "Oh, we just come out from church." "Oh, what church do you go to then?" We said, "Oh, we go to the Baptist church." "Oh, the happy clappy lot," she said. And so she said, "Oh, she goes like a background in Methodism." So I thought, well, this girl needs Jesus. That's a joke, by the way. But down at Portland in Heaven. Anyway, so we just had a little Jesus encounter there. So I had this picture from what Jen was saying and the band was playing. So it was a dappled shade, picnic, Callie's arms around me, and we had this lovely talk with this lass. And it was just right, you know? It was good. And it was just nothing more than that. But I'm still praying about the Vespa.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Scott. So, let's see. Russ, why don't you come down?
Thank you, Scott. I was relying on you. Jen was saying about a word called Shema. That really spoke to me because I never knew what the meaning was. And as Jen said, it means in Hebrew, listen, hear. It really spoke to me in the fact that ever since I've been a Christian, when I've been praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, the first word 99% of the time that comes out my mouth is Shema, which is very similar to what Jem said. I think you said it's spelt like Shema, isn't it? And that really spoke to me in the fact that when I'm speaking, praying in tongues, it means listen, hear. And I never even knew, I never even tried to find out what that word meant. But that really spoke to me. And all through the service, I was really listening to you when you were speaking, and sometimes my mind wanders off. But also another thing, when we were having our quiet time, I had this vision, this picture of a little fishing boat. I was standing on the seashore, and I saw this fishing boat, I think it was red and black, just out quite a way, and I felt a bit concerned about it. And then I saw these other fishing boats coming in, and surrounding it, and they all just went off into the sea, and I felt a lot of peace about that. But if anyone's got any meaning for that, then I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Russ. Is there anyone else who'd like to share something? Okay, well, I'll tell you a couple of things that people said to me, actually. So as someone was coming to church yesterday morning, the very first thing that they heard from God before they even came into the church was listen to me. So, and then the whole thing was about hearing from God. So also someone else had a very similar thing as well. So there was their morning prayer time reading was all about listening to God. So it's when moments like that happen that you know God is really speaking to you. And it is time for us to really lay hold of this idea of listening to God. Okay, is there anyone else who'd like to share anything before we I'm going to do this panel thing, which is going to be, I'll enjoy it anyway. I'm going to interview people about them listening to God. Yeah, do you want to come? Yeah.
I've got a Vespa. So that just sort of spoke to me. But I'm not saying that that word is for me. It's very funny because I've been a Christian for a large number of years. And I actually, when I first started listening to God, I said, God, will you speak to me in a voice that I can hear? In the same way that a mother can hear their child screaming amongst all the babies in the preschool or in the mother can pick up that voice. Ask God to help me hear your voice to me amidst all the clamor of the world. Help me to hear that. And the, just the way that he does it for me, just an encouragement, is that particularly I know with pictures, because I get pictures as well, but I know that, just encourage everybody, that I say to God, if that's your picture, Lord, can I not get it out my head? Because I don't know exactly how our brains work. I don't know if we get any neurosurgeons here, but we have lots of things flitting in and out all the time. But I know that when God speaks to me, I get something, for example, the fishing boat or something like that, and I can't get rid of it. I can't get rid of it. And I know it's like God is just prompting me in the shoulder. And that's really encouraged me to then to either say, now is this for me or for somebody else? And then I know, and then it gives me the confidence to share, because it's often in the context of a time when we're gathered and do I want to be sharing this? Or, but it's sometimes God speaking to us corporately, and so it encourages us and it will inspire, you know, I hope that by me sharing that will spur you on to just share with one another, and that will increase our faith, and then it helps us know more the voice, because the more, you know, the child, the voice grows, the more you think that's the Father speaking to me, the Holy Spirit speaking to me from the Father. So, just encourage.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so the verse we started off with, I just think it's right for us to say it again. So, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, this is a verse which is followed on just very briefly after Jesus. When you hear voices from the other side, from the enemy, rather than from God, who is good. Now, we've been singing that God is a good Father. You know, in John 10:10, he says that he has come that we will have life and have life abundantly. And yet the enemy comes to seek and destroy, to steal and destroy. So there is one way that we know when we're hearing from God and not from the enemy. But let's listen. This verse here says, my sheep hear my voice. So I want to bring some sheep up here, and we're going to understand how people get to hear from God in a very practical way. So let me just lay out these chairs. Thanks. Looks a little bit like a trial, doesn't it? So, but let's have the first sheep. Okay, Megan, why don't you come up? Sorry, put you on the spot here. So, Megan, let me give you this microphone. I'll use the other microphone. Okay, so Megan, how have you heard from God?
Okay. So Gemma asked me last week to think of a situation in which I've heard from God, and you know when someone asks you and then suddenly everything goes out of your head. So I've been thinking about it, and there's been lots of times I have heard from God, but one time that I thought was really cool was after last year we went to a conference actually with Jem and Zion, my husband, to see a guy called Sean Bowles. I don't know if people have heard of him. He's an amazing kind of prophetic gifting. And if you want to learn about listening to God and kind of ways you can step into that a bit more, I'd really recommend his like YouTube videos and stuff. He's a really cool guy. Anyway, when we went to this thing, we got given a workbook talking about ways that we can listen to God and hear God specifically for other people. And one of the activities in this workbook was to think of somebody that you hadn't spoken to in a while. So someone you knew, but someone you hadn't really had contact with. And just to ask God what he wanted to say to them. Was there something he could encourage them with? So I just thought, okay, I can do that. And that's the reason I got my phone up here. Is I asked God who he wanted me to hear for. And he said, my friend Emma, who's someone I knew from Scotland, and I hadn't seen her at this point for a couple months. And she's a Christian. So I just said, well, God, what do you want me to say to her? And I just got a kind of sense about something to do with her job and just to encourage her in her job at the time. And I didn't want to freak her out by being like, I have heard from the Lord that your job and all the rest of it. So I just sent her a text and I was like, I was thinking about you and I just wanted to say how inspiring you are as a hard worker with your job and with uni and how encouraging you are as a friend and that you always make time to bring joy to people, which are all things that God had kind of said to me for her. And then she wrote back saying it was a real encouragement because she was really struggling with motivation for her job at the moment. She used to clean the student union. So she said she was really struggling with that. So that was really cool. And I guess it encouraged me because it encouraged me that I could hear things from God. Because quite often I doubt what I think is God, like you were saying about things coming through your head. So that was something that really encouraged me.
That's fantastic. Something you just said, which I think was really... is really good for all of us, actually, is, okay, say you hear something from God and you know it's for a particular person. I thought you dealt with it really well. You said that you were thinking about her. And I think that's a really nice way of doing it. So if you have a word for someone, rather than saying, the Lord saith that thou shalt be encouraged, it's not very encouraging, okay? So that's really good. Good little tip there. Okay, so let's hear from someone else as well. We'll come back to you and we'll yep. kind of cross question a little bit more. Chris, you're sitting there. Can you come through?
Thank you.
Can you give us a little story about how you've heard from God in the past?
Yes, the Lord speaks to me in many ways, which is wonderful. Through the radio, through people, sometimes when people are actually talking to someone else and I just pick up a chance comment and think, oh, that's for me. The Lord's spoken to me through that, you know. And through pictures and dreams. But the main way, and the way I want to sort of bring today, is that he speaks to me through the Bible. And, of course, this is the most, well, it's the absolutely reliable way that he speaks to us and the way that we can test things that he says to us. And the example that I want to bring, hang on, if I can bring it out, just to set a bit of background, I tend to be a bit of a Mr. Fix-It. And like to do things in my own strength. And the Lord's been trying to deal with me on this for many, many years. And actually, I read one time in Word for Today something about a wife saying to her husband, you don't persuade, you pulverize. And I thought, oh, that's for me. So the Lord... spoke to me one time when, you know how sometimes scripture just absolutely pings off the page at you, and this was a very long time ago, and if you want the reference afterwards, I'll give it to you, but it's three verses from 2 Timothy, and it says, it's really how to teach, and it says, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken... And somebody once said, when you teach, you should do this. But when you teach, you do... this. So I'm still trying to learn that lesson.
Okay. Now you mentioned something again, which I find is very interesting, that you feel that God speaks to you through TV and movies. Yeah. Can you give us an example of how that has happened?
No. Okay.
But don't. Most, I'm trying to be the devil's advocate here. Well, I'm not trying to be, okay, but in some people think that the TV is not good for us. So why would God use this as a medium to speak to us?
God can speak through any means. And he can speak through means, I mean, information technology and technology in general can be used for evil, it can be used for good. The gospel is being spread in the most amazing ways through the internet to places where people just couldn't get the gospel otherwise. Yeah, God can use it.
Okay, thank you very much. Brilliant. Okay, let's have Janet. Can you come on down? Thanks very much, Janet. Have you got a tale to tell about how you've heard from God?
Yes. I hear from God, and a lot of it is personal, very personal, because it's, you know, God loves us hearing from him. You know, he's a communicator, so he wants us to hear from him, and I'm sure many of you do. And when Jem asked me, I was thinking of something that I could share, and this was what caused Rob and I to go into a ministry situation. So I'll tell you a summary of it. God graciously gave me a dream, okay, and the dream was like a movie, and in the dream, let me backtrack a bit. At that moment of time, our church was organizing a team to go to Siberia, and I wasn't interested. I mean, Rob vaguely sort of said, would you be interested? And no way. I didn't want to go to Siberia. Cold place. And at that time, Rob and I were also leading what's called soaking meetings in the church. It was a big church, 600 people. And we led soaking meetings once a week. And soaking meetings are where you come and you lie on the floor and you listen to God, to music. And so I was doing that. I was lying on the floor, listening to God in one of these evening meetings that we were holding. And God came to me in this dream, this movie image. And now, if I hadn't have had that dream, I wouldn't have gone to Siberia. And I wouldn't have prayed for the teenage boy that was in my dream. Isn't that amazing?
Could you say a little bit more about
yeah.
that?
So,
what was actually in your dream?
Well, in my dream, I was in a van with lots of other people. And we were traveling through what looked like an East European country. And then I'm giving you the highlights of the dream because it was quite long. Suddenly, I was in a train facing forward, and there was no window, that it was a glass, so I could see. And I was approaching a platform, and on the platform was a teenage boy, and he had those very wide eyes, high cheekbones, and the whole of the image that I saw was in one colour, black, grey, it was all shades of grey, and the boy looked really, really sad, really, really sad, and there was this sadness over the whole of it. Suddenly, the scene changed. And I was still in the train, but I was going really fast backwards. And the scene had changed. I could still see the boy, but he was suddenly in bright colour. Everything was all multicolour. And he was smiling. He had this great big grin on his face. He was really, really happy. So that was the dream. And as a result of that dream, I shared it with Rob, but I just knew God wanted me to go to Siberia. you know, why not? And Rob and I went off to Siberia with the team, and predominantly youngsters. And I mean, God was so good to me because it was an amazing time. He just so blessed me in it. But we went to a place called Doldagar, and it's near the Mongolian border. So it's way over east, okay? And the cows are very gaunt. It was April, and it was still, the whole ground was still dull. There was no grass. It was dust. But anyway, we went to pray in this church. We minister in this church. And I was praying for people. We only had one interpreter, and at the time I couldn't speak Russian, so, you know, you were just praying by faith, and nobody understood you anyway, so it was quite safe, really. And suddenly this boy, the boy in my dream, came toward me, and he held his hands out like that in front of me. And I think he had his eyes closed, but I can't quite remember now, but his mates, his teenage boy, his mates gathered around him. In fact, they actually stood in front of him and me, and they were trying to get him to go with them. And he just stood there, and he didn't move. And eventually they gave up and they left. And then I had the joy of praying for the boy in my dream. Isn't God good? I just say, thank you, Lord. I prayed for the boy in my dream. Now, you know, I don't know whether my prayer did anything. I don't know. I didn't speak Russian. He didn't speak English. All I know is God met with him. He fell on the floor. Now, I need to explain. This Siberian church, you do not fall on the floor. They're just dirt. They're, you know, very, very poor, very dirty, everything. He fell on the floor, and he was on there for ages and ages and ages. God met with that boy. To this day, I don't know what happened, but I know that God gave me the privilege of praying for him. But not only that, it was an amazing experience. You know, I mean, there was just so much that to me, but if I hadn't have heard him, I wouldn't have had the faith to go, and I wouldn't have gone, and I would never have met this boy. I've never prayed for him, and I wouldn't have had all the experiences that I can still talk about today.
Thank you. Thanks very much.